evening. I'd like to call this Monroe City Council meeting for September 18, 2012 to order and ask if Edie would take roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Kennebec.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble. Hanford.
Here.
Yes, that's right. To show that Councilmember Gamble is absent this evening and share that he would be out of town and would not make it tonight. Although I did speak with him yesterday. He was flying in and we may come in late. We'll probably not expect him. All right, with that said, please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, first on our agenda this evening, under announcements and presentations, is council training. Who is here this evening to from WCIA to share a little bit. He's provided a council, or a packet to council, entitled City Council Do's and Don'ts. And so I would welcome you to the podium this evening, sir, and thank you for coming and joining us. And the podium is yours.
I am the same guy who was here about 2 years ago. I escaped. So I'm back to chat with you again. This is my easy night. I have a hard night in Hero Point, going after a certain bully. And you've all seen the King 5 News episodes with the mayor in the Pacific. Pacific is not an art pool. I don't know if you like that. But we've also had issues in Burien where a council person, realtor, leaked information to his realtor buddies about the town center that was going to be in Burien. So there's all kinds of what used to be called dirty tricks and now are called ethics issues. So I thought I'd chat with you a little bit about that. The last time I was here, I was banging on the council and your knowledge of land use, because land use was red hot, and you had to understand the ideas of conflict of interest and quasi-judicial conduct. And that's all turned around. There isn't much land use development anymore. Except when the developer comes in and said, I'll build in your city if you'll bend the zones and codes and compliance. And of course, you're not going to do that, so we don't have many losses. But when that cranks back up, we'll be back out again, and we'll make sure you can spell quasi-judicial, or we can convince you to use a hearings examiner, and then get like Auburn, they decided that this is too big of an issue when it should just pass us by. We'll rely on two judges, one of which is a hearings examiner, and if the developer doesn't like that, then they can go to another judge called Superior Court. Auburn liked that idea because then the council persons don't have to maintain their confidentiality and their neutrality until the very end of the entire process, and then you can say anything you want, as freely as you want, to all the newspapers you want, because you don't vote. You give it away to the hearings examiner and a Superior Court judge. So you get two. If you do your job right and you want to be the final arbiter, then you have to be neutral through all of the discussion. If you can't keep your peace, then go to a hearings examiner. They're expensive, but they don't get sued because they're a judge and they have employment practice, personnel, rifting, terminations, red hot. And we have training, consulting, and pre-litigation positioning function, and that's about $1.5 million. And anybody who has to do employment practice is welcome to use that. We can go over budget, it's so red hot. Employees know they can't go to another job, and they'll fight to keep the one they have. And you have to use, the mayor has to use due process. If I was him, I'd be using the city attorney every day. And if I was the city attorney, I would be advising you in your employment practice role called budget, because you're going to have to make difficult decisions, and you're going to have to use the right criteria. And then when you rehire, when you have your times, then you'll be able to rehire in the same way that you reduce staff, so you don't get sued for discrimination and other inequities. So the mayor's in the hot seat at the moment, all he has to do is manage the most volatile of laws. Juries are made up of employees, not employers. So obviously the sympathy factor doesn't go to the city. So that's a pretty tough assignment at the moment. It's red hot, and we're employing every resource that the pool has, and we're picking these off one at a time, and we're doing well. There's some cases just shake your head. Oh no, we didn't say that on the record, did we? And the whole case falls apart, or we can go to court and we can win about 72% of the time. We are fearless if you are. We spend about $9 million a year on 12 regional defense firms. And if we can pre-position you, we can win employment practice cases. Boeing doesn't take these to court because they can't win them, they settle them. Maybe that's a corporate strategy, but if this is a matter of principle to you, we'll position you and we'll go to court and you'll win. It only costs about $9 million a year to do that. We have a pending of about 300 lawsuits in any one year, and that's a characteristic of our pool. We're litigious. We've been litigious since 1981, when one of the parameters of the pool was, I don't want to be pushed around by the plaintiff's bar ever again. It took a couple of years to get there, but we're there now. Okay. So in your packet, it's pretty much the same one I gave you before. It has a little statement about what a municipal risk pool is. We might have gone too far. We sponsored a bill in the legislature. When 9 pools were for the bill, 5 were against it. And the legislature now knows all of what municipal risk pools are. Probably a little bit of dirty laundry as well. So we were amorphous for a while, and now we're not. Now the legislature knows who we are. We're not a corporate entity in the insurance industry. I'm a proud member of the state retirement system. I'm completely municipal. I was in the industry, and it took about 28 years to knock all the corners off of me, so now I'm municipal. If there's something that you think you want covered, you can go to a full board meeting and ask for consideration. We're looking at cyber liability for a moment. I think I can spell cyber, but I'm the least literate of anybody in the office. The industry wants to sell you cyber liability. You don't have a cyber liability claim. Most municipals in the state of Washington doesn't, but there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of hits against Monroe Prison. For some reason, that attracts all of the notoriety, and they have thousands of deaths. There is a state employee there that they're using for cyber exposure, and it's amazing the types of things that people try to hack into in the prison system.
Spend it, just call. I didn't
close, and we're beginning to see in our lost history, we're not seeing land use issues, but we're seeing lots more sewer backups, sidewalk trip and falls, maintenance issues. And we know that there's deferred maintenance, because that's the best you can do. If you call and say, would you help me with a contractor who could do some sewer maintenance, I bet you would say yes. That does have a liability component to it. And if there's some way that we can, if we can grind sidewalks, we can help with sewer backups and potholes and such. Who knows, maybe we'll own a hot mix truck one of these days. So we also put your risk profile in there. And the page number on this, it looks like that in your book. It's the same one we had last time. If you look to the big spike, you're the blue column in your peers, measured by worker hours, by the blue dots. So it looks like that's a big spike, but compared to your peers, that's really not much of a police liability issue. We actually like to try police cases. We can win those. It's just a matter, and I would, I always say that your green column is below the blue dot, then that's a compliment for the police department, and it's the confidence that the citizens have in the officers. Contrast that with Seattle at the moment, and it's all about attitude, both the citizens' attitude and the cops' attitude. So you should take that as a vote of confidence. If you go from PO, that spike, to the right, that is public works engineering, public works sewer, streets, street maintenance, water. So those are the easy losses. That's the infrastructure ones. They are finite in time and cheap. You're not paying civil rights on a chuck hole, and you're not paying plaintiff attorney fees. So you can have all the losses you want to write the police, and apparently you are. Going to the left of that is DS, for DR, Development Review. That's the developers, and that's land use. That's civil rights issues, and that's plaintiff attorney fees. And it's not unusual that nobody has any development review losses, because nobody's building. But if I was you, I would go to the short course, elected official short course on planning, if you can't spell quasi, because it's coming back, and you all see it. AD is administration. That's the mayor's liability issue. That's personnel. He's the CEO, and he has control over administration, and has control over employees. They're his, not yours. You all don't help. We train him, and he has access to the city attorney, and he has access to us. And you set the strategic course, and you set the budget, and that's all you get to do. Everything else is his. We train him. We train his department heads, and we don't train you. You have a function that only you can do in the city. You, when you are in a quorum and at a scheduled meeting, you have power. When you walk out that door, you have no power. You're a citizen. Okay. Sorry, I have to tell you that. So citizens would like to give you that authority, because they elected you, and they like a leader. They like a decisive leader. But you don't have any employment tax power. Okay? So your quips in the newspaper shouldn't be about an individual employee. even if you think it, even if you go into an executive session. We're suggesting that that come through the city attorney or the mayor, who is trained in how to respond to the newspaper or the unions, or even individual disciplinary actions. A little bit hard to say, but then you get to do all of your stuff when land use comes back, and then the mayor watches and smiles.
Okay.
So those are our two biggest exposure, land use and employment. We're completely comfortable with police, and we're fearless in litigation. That's different from the insurance industry that doesn't want to expand coverage. Insuring doesn't like to litigate cases because they mess up with their bottom line all the time. They just don't like to give away as much as $9 million a year on frivolous things like litigation. But if it's a matter of principle to you, then it's not frivolous. And you should expect that we'll go down the road with you. Bainbridge Island, this is a place that has really long boats, and they have really long docks, and they keep wanting to expand those docks out into the waterways, and the city put a moratorium on these really long docks, and people there are well endowed enough that they sue, and they're good at it, and they have enough funds to maintain that. And so we went to the state Supreme Court and lost on a Shoreline Management Act, and then we went to the Ninth Circuit Federal Court, also called the 99th. Really terrifying to go in front of such a liberal court on the land use issue, because you usually get killed. And we happened to win, and that took 8 years, $900,000, ironically, to come all the way back to start and to give Bainbridge back their shoreline management policing powers. No insurance company would have done that. I don't want to do that again. It's a good thing you folks don't have any shoreline here. That's good. But that's the philosophy of the fool. That's our character. And we have money to do it with. If you all want to settle, we can reduce the amount of money that we have. We'll settle like insurance, and it's 92% of the time they settle. Another pool will settle, and you can pay less. It's just a matter of if your attitude matches ours, and values to values, then everything's cool. Okay, so that's your risk profile. If you turn the page and you see where MR Monroe is, we're at 25 cents per work per hour, so, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 from the lowest, or you could be at $1.64. That's a lot. That's Bainbridge Island, and that's the that reflects some of the land use litigation that they went through, and several high-profile cases as well. So y'all are doing just fine in your business. You can also go to the last section, which is the council liability index. I really like these. Sadly, they're all true. When I go to Eastern Washington, I go over to Richmond, and I talk about Western Washington and all the crazy stuff that happens up here. I talk about the council member who had in his hand on TV, on the dais, a manila packet, which included our and the city attorney's liability assessment for a developer that sued because he measured the height of his building that he won on the hill from the uphill slope, and the planners from the downhill slope, and the difference was one story, and he was going to fight for that. we thought if you measured from the bottom, it's going down three stories, but if you measured from the top, you got three stories. He wanted the height, so he was going to sue over that. There was a special committee that was going to review that, and the council person didn't think that that was a fair fight. And he thought he knew what the subcommittee was going to decide. It was going to be determined in open session, and he thought he'd even the score. So he takes his manila packet and hands it on the record to the attorney for the developer who was addressing the council and said, I'm waiving my council rights to an attorney and the confidentiality into his work product. And he gave it to the plaintiff attorney, who rips it open and starts reading like crazy, and the mayor gavels it down and directs the police chief to seize that document. And the police chief, not a chance, there would have been a crime committed here. Maybe there was some stupid stuff, but it wasn't a crime. So the plaintiff attorney is still reading away to figure out what our defense position is. And we couldn't take it away from him. He knew our plan and our arguments. What did happen was the council person can't waive any individual rights because they are the total council's rights. So he can't waive his privilege to the city attorney or defense counsel. That belongs to the council as a whole, and you have to decide to waive that. He didn't know that, and so Kirkland, using their ethics ordinance, sanctioned him. I think he paid $500. He got himself an attorney. He asked us to pay his attorney fees. We laughed at that. He had to pay his own. And he had to apologize on TV to the council, to the public, because he usurped his responsibilities, and he lost his election. So that's the type of things that we've never seen before from a city council. It's either Summer or Enoch, I can't remember which, had a new council person who was also a arbiter. Guy that cuts trees.
Arborist?
Yes. Thank you. And he made it his goal in life that he would grow some walnut trees, tiny little walnut trees, which happened to be on tribal land. And the tribe of the city had an agreement as to how the city could have a trail. And those tribal trees were shading up his walnut trees. So he takes it upon himself with no direction from the council. They didn't delegate him to do anything as an arborist. And so he cuts down 100 tribal trees that shaded out his walnut trees. Didn't have permission from the council, wasn't considered to be even a goal of the council. He used Parks equipment without the Parks Department knowing about it, just did his own thing. There are laws for cutting down trees that aren't intentionally. It's called treble damages. And he admitted to police that he had done that. When he went on King 5 News, he thought better of confessing to a leadership of 2 million people. So the council was troubled because he was trying to implicate, tacitly, you gave me the mission to cut these trees down and save the walnut trees, and they only didn't do that. But he kept interjecting that on the record during council session. So the council says, can I use your consulting program? And would you give us direction, because this is a potential crime, and all we know what to do is civil issues. So we assign a defense attorney who had some prosecutorial background to go out to the council and say, you're right, this is civil. He's in a criminal hot box. It's up to the prosecutor to decide if he's going to go after this guy in a non-position bet. So you guys take three steps back from your council person buddy and just let things happen. This isn't your job. You didn't assign him this task. You don't condone this task. And he's just going to have to sweat this one out. If there are fines, the city isn't going to pay them. We're not going to pay for a criminal defense attorney. The council's going to do nothing. So he went out on the last leaf of the last limb, believing that in his election returns, he was omnipotent. And that's part of the message tonight is, I've never seen such crazy stuff. And I don't know if the IQ level is dropping or you have special interest and that's all you're interested in being on the council. There's some really wild stuff that's going on. Never could I imagine that it's a councilman's duty to warn the trees. And there's the Pacific mayor. If you want a municipal mayor in Puyallup, he got called on carpet for allegedly being a bully to female staff. In fact, two city managers past took him as a council person and grabbed him by the back of his belt and the scuff of his shirt and waltzed him out of the administrative wing of City Hall because he was doing allegedly the same thing. I've never seen a city manager waltz a councilman out of his own City Hall before, but they did. See, things are weird, man. I'm not sure if you understand that when you're not on the dais, you're just a citizen with a badge. And so you don't have the authority to do a lot of things that the public will give you at least the perceived right to do that. The difficulty for you is that if you're not on the dais and you're cutting trees, I don't have a cutting tree for you. And I'm looking at each one of you here. So don't make a heartache for me. Find some way to yell when you're getting away. When you see a pine tree that's shading another tree, yell some kind of municipal verbiage so somebody thinks that you're in your councilmatic role. We have the same issues on an ethics basis with leaking executive material. If you leak my material, we'll come after you, and you'll be in my forum, and we'll have a way to do it. Check our agenda packet in October and January and see if there aren't some imaginative ways that we can come after a member, and if they don't leave, we'll make sure they leave. It's a privilege to be in a pool. It's not right. We've got 153 members, way too much money to know what to do with. And I'm sure you would rather be here than you would follow our rules. And they're not hard rules, they're municipal rules, not corporate rules. Oh my God. So my message is you can do whatever you want and self-assign yourself rights, but there's a distinct possibility you'll walk yourself out of coverage. It's an intentional act or it's a non-municipal act, and I got to stay within those little boxes. More than pleased to help a Puyallup council person slash mayor if he accidentally put his hands on somebody assume that's what happened if he happens to get sued or by that clerk, we'll say, or by the city attorney who shortly thereafter resigned from office. It's called retaliation. And there's 3 years to decide whether you want to take a run at this guy or not. And I would imagine, because it's lucrative, a plaintiff attorney would go and make some intentional acts and some negligent acts. We'll take the negligent parts because that's the contract that we have. And we're looking for ways to find coverage and looking for ways to protect you. But if you do something like leak information from the executive session and somebody assumes that you had the authority to do that or to act upon that, and they rely upon their assumption that you had the power to do that, that's called misrepresentation. It's an intentional act, and I won't help you. I like this part. This scares everybody. Okay. So you all just color between the lines, and we'll go outside the lines when we can to help you, because we know you had a good part of it, and we didn't do it on purpose. Okay. Questions?
We are going to have two executive sessions this evening. One is pertaining to potential litigation. The other pertaining to the price of property. And Luke, you weren't leaving, were you?
I thought it was.
No, if you would mind. We'll try to get you up early in the executive session. So, City Administrator Russell, how many minutes for the first portion of that potential litigation?
At the very most, 20 at the tops.
20, okay. And City Attorney Lell, you have the RCW for?
It is the mayor's preference to combine both executive sessions so that the council doesn't need to reopen the meeting. And
that would be.
Then, pursuant to RCW 4231101I and RCW 4231101C, the council convened an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel and to discuss the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease. The executive session will last approximately 25 minutes, after which the council will take action in open session.
All right, with that said, then we are now going into the executive session. Okay, we're back in regular session. And at this time, we are at comments from our citizens. This time set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We'd like to ask that citizens provide their name and address for the record and limit their time to 5 minutes. I don't have anybody signed up, but would like to open up the podium to any member of the audience who would like to address council at this time.
Joel Phillips, 5575. I'm bringing up the cameras again tonight. For some reason, I'm a bit obsessed with them. I'm just curious, how come it's not high on the priority of this, as in for our city to bring the cameras in here?
That's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a policy issue for council to make. It's not on my priority list, but this is a policy issue, so.
So how can we change that policy?
Right here.
Okay. I would like to see the cameras come in, and I know it takes time to move government along, but I would like to see them come in here sometime.
to this particular project?
I've been looking up a lot of figures lately, and I have other people helping me out too right now.
I was wondering if you could send me an email with your information, and I'd like to review as much as I can.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there, okay, thanks.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Joel.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council at this time? Councilor Pettibett?
I was just wondering, Brad or Jean, have we ever looked at this and what the cost? Has this come up as an issue before, or have people requested it? The cameras, I'm sorry, in council?
We used to do it until the equipment broke, and we didn't have the funding to replace it, and we still don't have the funding in our existing budget. So that's part of what the mayor was speaking to, is if council's desire to do so, direction to staff to move on that project, and direction where that money's going to come from to fund the project.
So when we had it before, what was the length of time that we had in chambers? Do you remember? I mean, was it for 5 years? Was it
maybe 5 years, right around?
Do you know the years offhand?
I don't
ever recall.
Well, all of years.
Yeah, I don't recall it ever being on when I served as council, and that began in 2003.
Well, I'd be curious how much it would cost to put them in. I mean, before we direct staff to go forward and find the money or do it, I'd be curious to know what the cost would be, and then I'm curious what other community members think, or if this is an issue. So on the record, I'm just saying, if people, we desire this, you know, I'll ask around the community and see if this is an issue with them, so if it would add a layer of transparency, and maybe see what the cost is. I mean, if it's a huge cost at this time with budget issues, I don't see it right now as a priority, but I don't know necessarily know the cost of it.
If I may, sure. I know one of the issues that we had when the cameras were on is that they're a fixed camera system, and a lot of the cities that record their meetings have a producer or somebody to do the filming during the meetings, because otherwise it's fairly useless. It's really no better than the audio, in that if the cameras don't catch everybody, which it really doesn't, the particular cameras we had in the past didn't. So it basically didn't provide anything. The audio didn't provide. So, and then there's the other thing, if you're going to broadcast it live, that's a whole other issue.
Right.
And
instead of just having it available for people to watch at a later time.
Correct. Then you're talking a publishing team, and you know, bigger cities do that. They've got staff and the funding to do that type of thing.
Okay. Do you know of any cities that, off the top of your head, that do it?
Yeah, Brenner's.
Marysville does it?
Everett,
Marysville. Okay, thanks.
Last call, anybody in the audience like to address the council? Okay. Moving on then, we will go to the consent agenda, where I'll be pulling items number 5, and also the requested item number 6 will be pulled as well. Councilmember Geary?
Motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Geary and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, 3, and 4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, City Administrator Brazel. Resolution authorizing the mayor to sign senior center lease agreement.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just want to draw council's attention. You may not even need to bring it up if you don't desire it, but on page 7 of 12, 14.2b, there's a provision in here titled continued the lease. And as I understand it, talking to Attorney Lau, if the senior center was to move out of the building and maintain the lease, they wouldn't be using the senior center any longer for that service. We need to put a dollar amount in there, a fair market dollar amount inserted in there, should that provision ever happen or situation ever happen. As a placeholder, we put a dollar a year in there, but obviously that matches what their current lease rate is. We need to come up with a fair market rate. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that still needs to be worked on, and I will have to do some research, call
that tonight without, and just...
With
the contingency that the fair market value. Understand, though, that whatever number we put in today, if in 15 years, you know, that fair market value could be double or triple or it could be less, I'm not sure. So I had concerns with the lease in the sense that for this reason, that if the senior center should move to another location, but they still have the lease, they could sublet that lease or that location for, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month, I don't know, you know, just throwing a number out there, and the city would only get a dollar. And so, a dollar a year. So, so that's, I believe, why we're seeing this type of language.
Yeah, Council, just to reiterate the nature of the relationship. Typically, when the city leases property to a private party, you have to get something approximate to private to market rent, not necessarily to the dollar, but it has to be some adequate consideration passing back and forth. The reason that you can make a lease of this type for nominal consideration, i.e. the $1 a year amount, is because the senior center is providing a valuable social service, and they're doing it as a nonprofit entity. The references in 14.2 and 17.2 in the draft lease agreement clarify what is to happen if, for example, the senior center breaches, if we terminate based on that breach, or if they simply hold over after the expiration of the lease term. In that circumstance, they wouldn't necessarily be using the property for the socially beneficial purpose that's been specified here, so it's not appropriate for the $1 nominal rent to apply. That's why you should have something that approximates fair market value. And what Mr. Brazel indicated, and the mayor further expanded upon, was some market rent in today's dollars, but then some built-in multiplier like the CPI, or something that would ensure that 45 years from now, 30 years from now, that it's an accurate, adequate figure.
Councilor Williams.
Yes. I was going to ask for some type of a formula, if we could, so you just answer the question.
Sorry, I closed the attention. Just a second. Let's see, Administrator Brazel.
If it's Council's pleasure, we can certainly bring this back and put on the consent agenda when that is done. Actually, I think that's probably a better option, because there is no pressure, and I'd like Council to see it.
Sure.
So let's just plan on doing that. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is for AT&T. Now let's the record show that Councilmember Gehring and Councilmember Camp are now leaving have left the chambers out of the abundance of caution, given the fact that they were for AT&T. Okay, Mr. Attorney Long.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a settlement agreement for the New Singular Wireless AT&T utility tax refund claim. The tentative agreement that's before you is essentially a 70 cents on the dollar arrangement where the city is agreeing to refund the disputed tax amount, which was originally $35,479. A reduced amount of $23,012.89 in exchange for a dismissal from the lawsuit and a statement that you can see in the proposed document that we're going to be completely absolved from any further liability arising out of this claim. For the Council's information, other cities in the state continue to settle. I've received stipulated notices of dismissal today from the cities of Enumclaw and the city of Newport, and also where the Yakult and a few of the other smaller cities on the east side have also settled. And as you're aware, that some other cities have formed a consortium and are attempting to challenge this. So the litigation will probably persist for some time, but if the city of Monroe decides to approve the settlement agreement for you tonight, we will be out of the lawsuit as of tomorrow. And the way that the plaintiff's counsel has formatted this document, unlike the standard agreement that you'd be executing, you're actually authorizing me as your legal counsel to sign the agreement on the city's behalf and arrange for it to be circulated to the recipients that are specified on page 2.
Councilmember Ketovic.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to authorize settlement agreement with AT&T.
Second. Motion's been made by Councilmember Ketovic, seconded by Councilmember Williams. Any further discussion? Comments, questions? All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Councilmember Hanford.
Make motion to extend past 10 p.m.
All right. Let's ask the two council members to join. All right, the motion's been made to extend past 10. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilman Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Camp. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Diane, hello, how are you?
Real good.
Thank you for your patience.
I believe each of you has a document that looks like this. There's some extras here if anyone from the audience wants them. As part of the budget process, I require me each year to report to you the status of the current year's revenues and how they're coming in compared to budget, so that you'll have a good idea when we start reading 2013's budget where we're going to stand at the end of this year, 2012. And the pie chart on the first page here, that's just to refresh your memory of where the general funds and revenues come from. We're a sales tax city, the biggest sales tax, and then utility tax and property tax. Those are our three major revenue streams for our general operations. And so looking at those three, the bar graph right below it shows that we're coming in really close to budget. Property tax a little more, the other two a little bit less, but close enough, you know. So I think no cause for heartburn or alarm. Looks like we're going to be doing okay. So if you go on to the next page, unexpected good news. The top bar graph shows you that our REIT revenues, which we collect whenever properties bought or sold, is way higher than what we anticipated. We budgeted $160,000. We're estimating $362,000 at the end of the year. That's really good news. That shows that property's moving, which is a good thing, and also getting more revenue than you anticipate is always a good thing. This money is restricted for capital projects that cannot be used for operations, which is the sad note. If there's that temporary legislation where we use $200,000 of it for parks, but other than that, that legislation sunsets in 2016, and so otherwise this money is strictly for capital, not for maintenance. Right below is a line graph that is just showing how the utility revenues are tracking to budget. And as you can see, we're right on budget with the utilities. So the good news is we're right on budget with all our revenues. The bad news is I was kind of hoping we'd be better with budget. But can't really complain. The next page is a summary of all the funds, and the pages behind it are basically the detail. I'm not going to go into the detail, but it's there if you want to dig through it. Any questions, please call me. I'm always happy to answer. Government accounting is a weird thing, so if you have questions about, well, what's this, why is this, please call me. On the page that just shows the summary of all the revenues, I just want to point out, let's see, the transfers in, where it's, we budgeted $3,400, we're getting $1 million. That's from that property sale, and then the funding of the anticipated property sales and the funding of the reserves. And it's that transfer is what that reflects. That's why it's so much higher than what we have budgeted. Planning's revenues are kind of down, but everyone else's revenues, the general fund is going to come out at about 110% of budget. That's good. That's all right. Real estate excise tax, again, that one's high, that's kind of nifty. The parks CIP fund is higher because we're saying $68,000 of GMA fees that we didn't budget for, that aren't there now. Street CIP fund is going to be, we're anticipating it to receive less than budgeted, and that's just the timing of receiving grant revenues. So it's not anything to cause heartburn, it's just, we thought grants were going to come in this year, they're coming in the next year. Sewer CIP fund, their revenues are down, and that's because of an inter-fund transfer that we're doing, that we had budgeted in 2012, we're going to do in 2013. And so that's not any loss of dollars, it's just timing of the transfer. And then the equipment and vehicles fund is a lot higher than budgeted because, again, the anticipated revenue from land sale going into the reserves, the reserve policy to fund the reserves. And so the good news, we're coming in on budget, and that's all I really have to say.
Thank you. Great job.
All right, moving on to final action, adopt 2013 comprehensive plan amendment schedule, and Mr. Pelka.
Yes, Kurt and I have some direction, final action on the 2013 comp plan docket. We've discussed this in the past, that we still have the four city-initiated amendments, comp plan text amendments, the gateway districts, our annual system plan updates, and school mitigation fees. Be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Councilmember Kitabek.
No, he's actually.
No, you're
by a hair.
By a hair, that means he was quicker.
No, yours came out.
Is there a quicker or stronger? Paul, just a question about the school mitigation fees. That needs to, looks like, be decided in October. Is that what I'm reading right? 2012? Because I see time constraints. So is that considered a 2013 docket item? Curious.
It's, well, we've got two responses here. One from Brad, one from Jeff. Brad would be quicker.
It's in the group of 2013, but if the council would like to do it quicker, since it is related to capital facilities plans, you can actually do out of cycle comprehensive plan amendments during the budget process. So if you would like to do that during the budget process of December, we need to get direction now to start that so we can come back to you and go through the Planning Commission by October and send off to the Department of Commerce with a 60-day review period to allow you to adopt it in December.
So remind me what the process is. It's going to Planning Commission?
Gives for direction to start working on this, and we go to Planning Commission on the 24th of September.
Okay.
Yes. An introduction on the 24th of September and a commission public hearing on October 15th.
Okay. Not and then October we can make a decision on that date or not. On the 15th, or do we have
to? Well, that's the planning
commission. Commission will make a recommendation and we plan to bring it to council on November 6th. A couple of these dates have changed a little bit.
So you're saying the public hearing is Planning Commission's public hearing on the 15th?
Correct.
And then they would make a it could come to us by November 6th?
Correct.
Okay. I just wonder what the time is, because I think this is an issue that's been talked about out in the community, so we'll make sure I know the process. Thanks.
But Jeff, you have this kind of some input as to why we might do that this year.
Sure. The real estate market has been flat residentially for 3, 4, or 5 years. We're now in a lot shortage situation throughout Snohomish County. When you look at fees and fee comparisons with other local jurisdictions, Monroe is less competitive than a lot of other jurisdictions. There are seven school districts in Snohomish County that collect school mitigation fees. There are eight school districts that collect zero in school mitigation fees. Monroe happens to be the only jurisdiction in Snohomish County that has a 25% discount rather than a 50% discount. Everyone else has a 50% discount. So it's a situation where builders who have capital, and that's not a real, it's a rare commodity right now. Builders, by and large, have a hard time finding funds to start projects. So we're in a situation where builders are going to go where to the jurisdiction where they can build the best house with the best amenities, and that hits the market price. The market establishes what a three-bedroom, two-bath house, 2,200 square feet, is going to sell for in any jurisdiction. So the question is, do we want to lower our impact fees to what everybody else in the county has, try to compete? And it's a situation where you're reducing revenues to the school district, but at the same time, if nobody comes to build a home in Monroe, there are no revenues to the school district. And last year, I think there were $65,000 in fees paid to the school district. That would have been a reduction to Monroe School District, about $22,000. So what I'm looking at from an economic development standpoint, it's no different than a business that offers free initiation fees to their business in order to get the people into town. New homes do have impacts to the community. The 50% discount is applied because not everybody is going to have kids that move into a new home. Some people are going to be moving out of existing housing stock or apartments in Monroe and into new homes, meaning there are no new impacts from that new housing. So historically, the argument on reduced or discounted mitigation fees has been, that's the compromise. Not everybody has new kids. Not every home is going to attract new children into the city of Monroe. So the two-part plan, past councils have embedded school mitigation fees in two parts. One, the city has basically ceded control over the discount to the school district. So the school district establishes what the discount is going to be in their capital facilities plan. And we have incorporated that by reference into our comprehensive plan. So it's a two-part, if you decide to move forward with the discount, it's a two-part plan. One, we can create an ordinance that will mathematically reduce impact fees for 2013 going forward during our budget process and the adoption of 2013's capital facilities plan. The docket for 2013 will be the vehicle to extract the school district's ability to set that discount, remove it from the comprehensive plan, and put it back into council's legislative arena so they can look at mitigation fees on an annual basis without having to go through the whole comprehensive plan amendment process. So if you choose to go through, there's two options. One, you can do nothing. Or two, you can move forward with a reduction in fees during this year's budget cycle. And if you want to continue that process in the future in a very simplified way, you decouple school mitigation fee calculations from the comprehensive plan and put it back into the administrative code where you can make those decisions on an annual basis.
I'll just still give you the floor since he was responding to your question.
That's not on the floor. Oh, okay, thanks. So I have a question about that. So the discount is embedded in our comp plan, but it gives the school district the right to kind of set that?
The way our comp plan reads right now is whatever the school's capital facilities plan determines is the discount.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Right now, the school's capital facilities plan says for homes inside the city limits of Monroe.
Right.
25%.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But what you're suggesting is we change the discount and then go through the process later of, you know, taking it out of, putting it back under our control. So if we lower the discount, where does the who pays the, until we change that, don't we still owe the...
No.
The school district that discount that we're then giving additionally to builders?
It is the city's responsibility under law to establish what the discount is.
Okay.
Now, we will have inconsistency for a brief period of time until the school updates our capital facilities plan, but that can be rectified, I think, during the docking cycle next year.
Councilmember, and to Councilmember, or to Jeff, Jeff's point, $65,000 in mitigation fees this year based on, I believe, a $64 million district budget. So the, while there's an impact, that's it is much smaller than it is very small, and we're not intending to get into all the details. Jeff will have the nuts and bolts of all of the details, and we're working with John Maddox to gather information from the school district to be able to provide to Planning Commission and to City Council. We've also invited the board members to attend the City Council meeting as well. So, Councilmember Geary?
No, thank you. I appreciate your questions, your comments. I was hoping to kind of speed it up if we could, and so I'm hearing a way to speed it up regardless of what action we may or may not take. Talking about it during the budget cycle speeds it up, a resolution one way or the other. And so I'm definitely in favor of moving forward in that. Quicker, so if we can do that, and then like as was suggested, the as the part of the docketing process, you know, planned, I do think it is strange that we're finding a few of these things along the way, that these some strange things that are in the comp plan that aren't normally in comp plans, and why is it there, etc. So I think that is something. Well, it's already on the thing to be docketed, but that separating those two things into one or the other, I think speeds it up and brings resolution one way or the other sooner than later. So I'm in favor of that. Thank you.
Councilor McGinn.
I'd like to make a motion to proceed with consideration of the following 2013 comprehensive plan document projected schedule. CPA 2013-8 comprehensive plan text amendments. CPA 2013-B city gateway districts. CPA 2013-C system plan updates. CPA 2013-D school mitigation fees.
Second. The motion has been made by Councilmember Camp as read and seconded by Councilmember Davis. Any further, Councilmember Camp? I've got two. Any other questions, comments? With that said, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Moving on now to council member reports. Anything to report? We'll start from the go 1 through 7. Councilor Hearing?
Nothing to report.
Councilor Cutback.
I attended Swift Night Out on Saturday the 15th, and it was wonderful. There was, gosh, tons of people, and a lot of people from out of county and out of state. So I think it's a great opportunity to showcase Monroe, and it's very unique. So I just encourage anyone, if you have an opportunity to see it next year, participate. And I think the hope is to look at making it a bigger event that will draw more people from out of town.
If I may, every night this week is the session, so the big event, obviously,
right.
But there's tons of people tonight that's sitting out there as well. So it's a lot of
fun. Thank you. Councilmember Williams.
I had the privilege this last week with Councilmember Gehring and Davis of going to the prison with the Citizens Academy. So that was a lot of fun. I just want to, again, I know we've said it a few times.
Did you change your ways?
The Citizens Academy has just been an awesome event, and it's been really great meeting a lot of the police officers that we don't see we see the chief a lot, but seeing the other guys, and they've done some things different this year from what they said to make it a little more interactive, and it's just been an awesome, fun time. I look forward to it every week, so I'd like to commend the chief and the people putting it on, they're doing a great job, and it's been a lot of fun. We're really glad you moved it to Thursday night for us.
Nothing.
Councilor Davis?
I just have to ditto what Councilman Williams said.
Councilman Ham? Chief, anything? Jeff, anything in addition? Diane, anything in addition? Brad?
One quick item on the budget. Plan revenue is, it's a little skewed because of $260,000 of that end-year estimate is in professional services. It's a pass-through. It's balanced by $260,000 in expenses. So if you subtract that, we're actually ahead of the budgeted amount for plans. So.
That's good. I just wanted to give notice to Councilmember Gary that I'll be leaving out of town Thursday morning, returning Monday. So if there's any business that needs to be done, that Mayor Pro Tem Gary needs to be notified. And that's it, City Administrator Brad.
Thank you. Draft agenda, October 2nd, 2012. The consent agenda, and at this point, one final action on item approval to submit CDBG grant to Snohomish County for sidewalks. Any additions or deletions?
We have the senior center lease then.
Anything further? Last minute? Councilmember Hanford.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Gary. Adjourn. All those in favor say aye.